Crackers, the corporate crime-fighting chicken. Sometimes, when all else fails, you need to call in a superhero. When forest fires are out of control, you need Smokey the Bear. When polluters threaten our environment, you call in Woodsy the Owl. Give a hoot, don't pollute. When crime is running rampant, who else is there to turn to take a bite out of crime than McGruff, the crime dog? But what does one do when the threat is from an entity so evil, so malevolent, that it seems no human being has the power to stop it? Yes, we're talking about corporate criminals, those men in suits who flagrantly violate the law and bring harm to the world. They run amok across the planet, with the rest of us mere mortals unable to subdue them. Every year, 45,000 more people lose their lives due to corporate workplace hazards than those who are murdered by handguns. The list goes on, and yet nothing is said or done about it. No 11 o'clock newscast will open with the latest death on the job or the hiring of more police to patrol Wall Street and nab the white-collar crook. We at TV Nation felt that the country deserved better. If the street criminals had an animal mascot like McGruff chasing them, then why not the corporate criminals? From this came Crackers, the corporate crime-fighting chicken. Crackers became the first primetime superhero to go after the very people who might be advertising on the superhero show. This paradox was not lost upon the network. They did not welcome the chicken with open arms. But they withheld judgment until they saw the chicken in action. Crackers was a 7-foot chicken. Though some claimed it was just a costume worn by one of our writers, John Derevlaney, those of us who believed knew that the chicken was real and would save us from evil. We gave him special powers to investigate wrongdoing and ask the tough questions of big business that the press is afraid to ask. We provided Crackers with his own crime-mobile, a long trailer with a lab, computers, and handcuffs. Our mission was to have Crackers travel across the country in this crime-mobile, listening to the concerns of average citizens who were the victims of decisions made by businesses and its officers. Crackers also had his own toll-free 800 number, which people could call and report corporate crimes in progress. Over 40,000 calls were received the first weekend. That alone made Crackers a worthy creation. The number of calls from average citizens who had real examples of wrongdoing at places where they worked or lived was astounding. We were in awe of the broad range of criminal behavior of those who, as Woody Guthrie once said, rob us with a pen instead of a gun. We sent Crackers off on his journey, visiting towns and corporations in over a dozen cities. This chicken had enough material for his own show, but we had time on the show to present only 5 of his crime-fighting accomplishments. Here's what they were. First stop, New York City, and the First Boston Corporation. First Boston, one of the nation's largest financial institutions, had gone to the mayor of New York for a tax break. They were threatening to leave the city if their taxes were not reduced. Was this extortion? That would be grounds enough for Crackers to go after First Boston. Though human society did not consider this illegal extortion, Crackers found it a prime example of how companies stick up communities for large sums of money, always under the threat that something bad will happen to the community when they pull out. Fearing the worst, virtually every town gives in. First Boston got their multi-million-dollar tax break and added it to their annual coffers. And within 30 days of receiving this gift from the taxpayers of New York, what did First Boston do? They laid off over 100 people. Just like that. Ironically, part of their deal with the city was that they were going to keep the jobs in the city, not eliminate them. So did First Boston give the money back to the city after they broke the agreement? Are you kidding? Crackers was appalled and was in no mood to kid around. He headed over to First Boston's headquarters near Madison Avenue to demand that they reinstate the people or return the money to the city. As soon as Crackers entered the doors of First Boston, he was confronted by security. But, unlike the mere mortal me when I go in and get rebuffed at corporate headquarters, the chicken could not be stopped by men in rented uniforms. Crackers bolted through the guards, got on the escalator, and rode to the second floor. There he was met by even more security. These men seemed to have had some training in dealing with superhero chickens because they were able to return Crackers back down the escalator to the first floor. The New York police were called, and they showed up with a paddy wagon. Once on the scene, though, they realized they brought the wrong paddy wagon, the one for humans. There was no way a 7-foot chicken was going to fit in that van. So the cops decided to try and talk the chicken out of the building. The cops said Crackers could go to City Hall and take it up with the mayor. And that's exactly what the chicken did. Mayor Giuliani was set to hold his daily press briefing that afternoon. When his aides alerted him that Crackers was just outside the press room and I was sitting inside, the mayor huddled with them for nearly an hour as they tried to figure out how to handle the situation. A reporter from WABC, friendly to the administration, tipped them off as to why Crackers was there. When Giuliani finally appeared at the podium, his aides and undercover police officers kept the chicken outside the room and surrounded me while I was sitting there right in front of the mayor. Then the friendly reporter decided to steal the chicken's thunder and asked the mayor about how tax breaks to companies like First Boston had helped improve the city. Giuliani went on and on, explaining how tax abatements made New York a more attractive place to do business. Well, I finally broke in, and I asked the mayor why he was refusing to face the crime-fighting chicken. The mayor responded, "I am not talking to a chicken." Crackers, watching outside through the window, seemed hurt by this rejection. This chicken was one sensitive bird. Crackers moved on to his next target, the Delta Enterprise Company of Brooklyn, which makes baby walkers, those devices by which a baby can move around the room before it can walk on its own. The problem with many baby walkers is that the wheelbases aren't wide enough, and babies can accidentally tumble down a flight of stairs. Crackers showed up at the company's main factory and demanded to see the boss. Again, the chicken was physically removed. "Out of here! Out of here!" the man kept shouting at him. The following week, Crackers wheeled his crime mobile into downtown Philadelphia to the cheers of hundreds of Philadelphians. They had come to tell the chicken about all the corporate crimes they had witnessed, but one infraction irked Crackers the most. Core States Bank was charging its customers $25 for every check they bounced. For families living from paycheck to paycheck, this was an extraordinary sum of money. Philadelphia has the highest fee in the country for bounced checks. Banks across the nation rake in $4 billion in yearly profits from check overcharge fees alone. Bouncing a check is not what it used to mean. Writing a check for money you don't have in your account is itself illegal. But most citizens are law-abiding people and have no intention of ever bouncing a check. So the bank sets them up for the overcharge. Here's how it works. You deposit your paycheck on Friday, then go home and write a few checks to pay some bills over the weekend. But the bank puts a hold on your paycheck to make sure your employer's bank covers it. The hold could last for 10 days. Meanwhile, those checks you wrote, your bank has quickly cleared those. You wrote those checks based on a balance you thought you had, one that included that paycheck. But the paycheck hasn't cleared, so boing, bounced, and you're out another $25 or $30. This practice is common all over America. It seems like theft to us. Yet no cop goes in and arrests the bank chairman for this theft. Enter Crackers. Crackers went to a Core States Bank and insisted that the manager stop charging these incredible fees. The manager claimed she had no authority and that she was just doing her job. Crackers then went to Core States headquarters, but was turned away. Fed up with not being taken seriously, the chicken went to see State Representative Babette Josephs, who promised to introduce a bill in the Pennsylvania legislature prohibiting any bank from charging more than a $7.50 fee for a bounced check and strictly defining what a bounced check is. This was something that hit home with a lot of viewers, and Crackers got tons of mail from people who saw this story. Finally, the chicken was having impact. After this success, we started announcing upcoming Crackers tour stops on TV Nation. people would show up wherever the chicken appeared. Indianapolis, Milwaukee, Chicago, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Decatur, Illinois. In Chicago alone, over 3,000 people came to see the chicken. The crowd got so enthusiastic in its anti-corporate fervor that the city actually called in the riot police to shut us down. At a gathering in St. Louis, crackers received a tip about a facility in a neighborhood just southeast of the city. The whistleblower told crackers that the townspeople felt that their community was being poisoned by the Doe Run Lead Factory, one of the largest lead operations in the world. Crackers decided to research the tip, and through talking to local residents and workers, he was sure he was onto something. Crackers then went about his business. He tried to enter the factory to confront the bosses, but as usual was stopped by the police. Later that day, the same cop pulled up alongside Crackers and asked to get his picture taken. It turned out he had watched the entire season of TV Nation and loved the chicken. Crackers personally scooped his own soil samples and took them to a lab in St. Louis. The samples showed that the lead level was high. He had a meeting with the CEO of Doe Run. He had children tested for lead poisoning and found out that their blood had unacceptably high levels of lead. After the show aired, there were two class action suits filed, one for property damage and one for personal injury. The Department of Natural Resources received between 600 and 700 letters, and since Crackers brought attention to the situation, it seems that there is now a greater awareness in the area about the dangers of lead poisoning. The last stop on the Crackers tour was Detroit. There are corporate crimes, and then there are corporate crimes that are personal. The one that held special interest for us happened in our own backyard, the newspaper strike in Detroit. Because we gave birth, so to speak, to Crackers, we made him an honorary Michigander. The workers at the Detroit Free Press and Detroit News had gone out on strike in July of 1995 over a contract dispute. Management at both papers immediately hired scabs to produce the newspapers. Violent demonstrations resulted, with the police inflicting most of the violence. By the time Crackers had arrived, the workers had been on strike for over 30 days. The National Labor Relations Board, the NLRB, had ruled against the newspapers, but management filed an appeal. Crackers tried to act as a mediator, but was ignored by management. He then went to see Congressman John Conyers, the top-ranking Democrat on the House Judiciary Committee. Conyers promised Crackers that he would hold hearings to help the workers get their jobs back, and he would investigate ways to amend the antitrust laws, which permit two newspapers in a town to conduct business under a joint operating agreement. Next, Crackers decided to put out his own newspaper at a union print shop to tell the people of Detroit the truth about what management was doing to the workers. He even tried to deliver his paper at the homes of the publishers of the Free Press and the News. Finally, it was time for the chicken to take direct action. He led a group of strikers in a march on the two newspapers. The doors were immediately locked when security saw the big bird coming. Using powers none of us had seen before, Crackers, with his bare wings, pried open the main doors of the Detroit Free Press. The security guards were in shock. They called for the police. The crowd shouted louder, "Let the chicken in! Let the chicken in!" The police arrived and asked Crackers to take his demonstration elsewhere. So he did. One block down the street, to the Detroit News. There, Crackers saw that the loading dock doors were open, so he just walked right in. Rent-a-cops appeared immediately and, in unison, picked Crackers up and threw him back out onto the street, a good 10 feet away. It was the first time any of us had ever seen a chicken fly. Inspired by this miracle, the crowd surged the now-closing metal doors. A riot ensued. Punches were thrown. Billy clubs were swinging everywhere. The doors were demolished. Both our cameraman and our sound recorders were bruised and bleeding. Hey, this is a comedy show, for Christ's sake! If only Rupert Murdoch could see us now. The police again moved in and quelled the disturbance. No one was arrested, and we all scooted out of there with the footage. Later that night, to cheer Crackers up, he actually had required a visit to the hospital. We took him to Tiger Stadium, where I was singing the Canadian national anthem before the baseball game with the Blue Jays as part of our Canada Night salute for another episode. During the game, Crackers got to meet the Tigers' mascot and trade tales. It was during this meeting that Crackers learned that the other mascots had cooling systems inside their heads, and so now he began demanding one for himself. Kids attending the game all ran up to Crackers for an autograph, which he was more than happy to give. Any week Crackers was on TV Nation, our ratings with the 2 to 11-year-old demographic was the second highest for all shows in that time slot. Soon the Crackers tour, though, was over, and he retired to the Colonel Sanders Museum in Kentucky, where he awaits his return to crime fighting. It had been a long, hot summer, and we had learned much about what the man was up to. It was also clear that America needed a superhero who could defend their interests and look after their well-being. Some people used to think that that was the Democratic Party, but, well, that's another story. Crackers became the most loved, most watched, most requested part of TV Nation. This one chicken had struck a real chord with the public. And someday, folks, he will return.